Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 FY 2024 earnings conference call of Kirloskar Oil Engines Limited, hosted by Antique Stock Broking. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Devendra Tiwari from Antique Stock Broking. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking, I welcome you to 2Q FY 2024 post-result conference call of Kirloskar Oil Engines Limited. I'm glad to have with us today Ms. Gauri Kirloskar, Managing Director of KOEL, along with the senior management team of the company. Firstly, we will have introductory remarks on the results by Ms. Gauri Kirloskar, following which we will open the floor for Q&A. Over to you, Ms. Gauri. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Good evening to all of you. This is Gauri Kirloskar, Managing Director of Kirloskar Oil Engines. Thank you all for joining the call today. I have with me Rahul Sahai, our B2B CEO, Aseem Srivastava, our B2C CEO, Smita Raichurkar, Company Secretary, and Amit Gupta, CFO of Arka. We also have on the call today Mr. Ankur Gupta. He is the CFO for our B2B business. I'll start with the business update. KOEL has had a stable quarter. The revenue for this quarter reached rupees 1,047 crore, indicating a 5% year-on-year growth. It's worth noting that the first quarter figures saw a spike due to pre-buying in anticipation of emission norm changes, so this quarter's numbers show a sequential decline against that backdrop. However, when considering the performance for the first half, the revenue amounted to rupees 2,303 crore, marking a substantial 19% year-on-year growth. For the B2B business, this was a quarter of transition for us after the CPCB 4+ norms kicked in. We have a strong order board that encompasses different emission norms. On the power generation side, we continue to work through the complexity of managing multiple product lines catering to multiple emission norms. While this gives rise to supply chain and operations challenges, we are managing these challenges by closely watching our supply chain and optimizing our production capabilities to meet delivery timelines and our customer commitments. On the industrial side, we continue to see strong demand from our OEMs. We have the upcoming BS-V emissions change in the construction segment, and we are working closely with our OEMs to enable their success. On the international side, we have appointed an exclusive GOEM in the GCC region this quarter. We also further strengthened our presence in the firefighting segment by acquiring new customers. We believe these initiatives will help us tap into new opportunities and will lay the foundation of our growth plans on the international side. Sustainability and environment are a key focus area for us. We have several new product launches this quarter. We expanded our gas genset range and now have the most comprehensive gas genset range in the country. We also unveiled completely new products such as our OptiPrime and OptiPrime hybrid range of gensets. The OptiPrime range of gensets combine innovation with product efficiency. As a result, customers get a lower product footprint, more power, and maximum savings. This patented technology marks our entry into the high horsepower range above 1500 kVA and up to 3000 kVA. These products are designed to cater to diverse power requirements across various sectors, ensuring businesses and communities have access to reliable, cleaner, and better power. Our fuel agnostic platforms are engineered to operate efficiently on multiple fuel options, including diesel, natural gas, biogas, and hydrogen blends, providing unmatched flexibility to consumers. The orders for OptiPrime series have started coming in, and the early signs are encouraging. On the B2C side, our focus on stabilizing the business with RACE, that is reach, agility, cost, and engagement, is working well. Pumps in the small engines business, which is more than 90% of KOEL's standalone B2C, have shown more than 20% year-on-year growth in the quarter. our margins here have been on track. It has been 1 year now since we took full control of Lagarjar machineries. We have handled the transition well, and our new plant construction is as per schedule. Our margins in LGM have improved since when we completed the full acquisition. Our export focus in LGM has shown good results, with sales of 85 crores in H1, which is about 30% of LGM sales. The margin in the LGM export business has also improved significantly. I will now briefly update on the financial performance on the quarter and half-year basis. These are the standalone numbers. Revenue from operations is at rupees 1,059 crores for Q2 FY24 versus rupees 1,010 crores for Q2 FY23, a 5% increase year-on-year. H1 revenue is at rupees 2,324 crore, an 18% increase year-on-year. EBITDA is at rupees 99 crores for Q2 FY24 versus rupees 115 crore for Q2 FY23, down by 15% year-on-year. For H1, EBITDA is at rupees 253 crore, a 16% increase year-on-year. As mentioned in the notes to the results, this quarter we have made a provision for overdue receivables of rupees 10.5 crore for a customer to whom sale was made in the previous year. If you remove that effect, EBITDA is at rupees 109 crore with a margin of 10.3% for the quarter. Similarly, for H1, excluding the provision made, EBITDA is at rupees 271 crore, reflecting margin of 11.7%. Net profit is at rupees 59 crore for Q2 FY24 versus rupees 73 crore for Q2 FY23, 19% decrease year-on-year. For the H1, the net profit is at rupees 162 crore, an 18% increase year-on-year. Net cash and cash equivalents at the end of the quarter, Q2 FY24, was rupees 112 crore versus 300 crore at the end of the previous quarter. This quarter, we had capex that was spent on CPCB 4+, etc., and investment in inventory due to the co-existing CPCB 2 and CPCB 4 products. I will now give an update on working capital. This quarter started with challenges on the supply front due to the continuation of CPCB 2 for another 1 year, while CPCB 4+ was also introduced since the beginning of this quarter. As a result, this quarter has seen demands for both product lines, which has resulted in a complex supply chain and manufacturing situation. To meet demand and customer requirements and delivery timelines, we have made investments in stocking material that has resulted in higher inventories, which we expect to normalize over the next year as we go through this period of transition. Now I will take you through the business-wise standalone revenue breakup for the quarter. The B2B segment with a top line of rupees 904 crore registered a 3% growth year-on-year. Of the total B2B revenue, power gen revenue is 360 crores, down by 8% year-on-year. Industrial is 235 crores, up by 5% year-on-year. Distribution and aftermarket is 184 crores, up by 23% year-on-year, and international business is 125 crores. Our international business marked a growth of 45% versus the previous quarter and 12% year-on-year. Coel B2C segment with a top line of rupees 143 crores was up 19% year-on-year. Within B2C, the Coel Water Management Solutions business recorded revenue of rupees 116 crores, up by 21%, and farm mechanization recorded revenue of 27 crores, up by 12% year-on-year. In LGM, revenue is flat at 132 crores. However, EBITDA margin improved from almost nil in the previous year to good single digits due to better cost management, better product mix, and higher exports. The net working capital has also improved in LGM. Now when we look at the consolidated performance for the quarter and the first half, revenue from operations is at rupees 1,305 crores for Q2 FY24 versus 1,228 crores for Q2 FY23, 6% increase year-on-year, and for the half year revenue from the operations is at ₹2,848 crores, 18% year on year. Net profit is at ₹78 crores for Q2 FY24 versus ₹83 crores for Q2 FY23, 6% decrease year on year. H1 net profit was at ₹204 crores, that is a 24% increase year on year. At ARCA, the loan book for the quarter is at ₹4,128 crores. The revenue for the quarter is at ₹127 crores, registering a 52% growth year on year, and segment profit is at ₹25 crores. In summary, with a strong half-year performance, we are very much on track for our goal of 2X3Y, advancing satisfactorily on the 5 growth pillars. We have registered a 25.5% CAGR in the last 2 years on a base revenue at the half year of FY22 of 1,473 crores. With that update, we will now take questions from the audience. Over to you, moderator.
Thank you very much, ma'am. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may please press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We'll take the first question from the line of Ashish Shah from GM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So the first question is that obviously this quarter is a difficult quarter to judge because of the pre-buying in the previous quarter. But based on the order book and inquiry levels, would you expect, let's say the first half kind of growth momentum to sustain in the second half as well? Or you think that's something which is still evolving and one cannot be sure of that?
Yeah, hi, this is Rahul. So as of now, we have a pretty strong order book, and from a platform and product standpoint, we are absolutely ready. So we would expect the strong performance to continue in the second half.
Right. So in the first quarter, you did say that except for the impact of rebuying, you still had a healthy, maybe plus 20% kind of a growth. So is that something that you saw, because the for the quarter as such, you had seen a decline in the power gen segment?
So what Gauri mentioned earlier, this was a quarter of transition for us. What actually happens is that there was a lot of changes and adaptations we had to make because of the last minute notification that came out from the government regarding the emission timelines. So, for example, the CPCB 4 Plus, there was a soft postponement of that until June next year. So, I wouldn't worry necessarily too much about, the order board or our execution. This quarter was more of a transition for us.
Sure. A little bit on the gross margin or the raw material cost. So, this quarter we have seen at least from a sequential perspective, we've seen a fair amount of reduction in the raw material cost. So is this an outcome of the price increases or the raw material prices going down? And is this level of raw material cost, is this can be expected in the quarters to come?
Yeah, so this is Rahul. So we are keeping a close eye on our margins along with the material costs. So we are taking full measures to ensure that our margins maintain. So while there is a 130 basis point improvement in this quarter, I would say we're keeping a close eye on it. I can't comment on how the margin fluctuations happen in future.
Sure. And just one last thing from my side, please. On the exports front, are we seeing any improved traction? Because if I look at the YOY growth, it's a little subdued. First quarter was also about 2.5. This quarter is flattish. So you think this year we are going to see some sizable growth in exports, or maybe there is not so much certainty in the markets to be thinking of
that? If you look at the results, we've actually grown substantially in this quarter versus last year in exports. But what is more important is that we've appointed an exclusive channel partner in the GCC countries, and this is happening for the first time. So there is a thought process regarding go-to-market with respect to international markets, and we are committed to executing that.
Sure. Thank you. I'll come back if I have more questions. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask questions may please press star and one now. We'll take the next question from the line of Amit Shah from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead. Mr. Shah, I have unmuted you.
Yeah. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. So, thanks for the opportunity. My first question is, will it be possible to share the mix between the CPCB IV compliant product sales and how much is the sales of CPCB II compliant product in this particular quarter?
Hi, this is Rahul. So, I may not be in a position to give out specific numbers, but what I can tell you is that we are seeing demand from specific regions in India for CPCB IV+, owing to the local regulations. For example, you look at NCR, there's a lot more traction that we're seeing from that area versus some of the other areas. We continue to sell our CPCB II products at a significant scale.
In percentage term, broad percentage, would it be possible to share as to what proportion of our power gen sales has been from CPCB IV compliant product portfolio? So just to get a color on how the traction is moving in this particular segment.
I don't think I can share the numbers, but what I can tell you is that this is the first quarter of CPCB IV+, and we have all the products ready. So there aren't too many companies who have all the products ready and certified. So we are seeing traction, and that traction will continue sequentially every quarter as we move on into June of next year.
And secondly, on the 2H outlook, right? So second quarter, we had seen a subdued performance, given that the first quarter was had witnessed a very strong pre-buying, right? So, but moving ahead, how do you see the traction in terms of sales? Do we believe that, you know, sales would, from second half onwards, sales should revert back to the normal growth trajectory of 10-15% that we were witnessing earlier? Or do you believe that, you know, the overhang of the first quarter pre-buying should continue in 3Q and fourth quarter onwards, we might see the normalcy getting back in action?
Right. So I just wanted to make it clear that this quarter was a transition for us. It's not because we see an impact on the demand. The transition is more from our getting our manufacturing lines ready along with our supply chain ready to ensure that we are able to cater to both CPCB 4+ as well as CPCB 2 products. So it's not an indicator of the demand. Now going forward, we would, because we've gone through the entire transition in this quarter, we would expect that normalcy to come back.
Okay. One more thing I wanted to understand, in this particular quarter, our employee cost has jumped up significantly, right? So we have seen 75-76 crore kind of an employee cost in this particular quarter. And if you can just share what is the reason for that and what would be the quarterly run rate going ahead, given that it's a very sharp jump on YOY basis as well as on a QOQ basis.
Sure. So we actually had increments kicking in this quarter, but as we move ahead and the revenue normalizing, we don't expect too much of an impact. This quarter, because there was a transition, we had increments, as well as owing to the transition, we had a lower volume leverage. As a result, our conversion costs increased, you know, in this quarter. which is why you're seeing the impact. Otherwise, we expect that to normalize from the quarters going forward.
Okay. So this 75 crores is the quarterly run rate we should assume going ahead, or do we believe that, you know, that 65, 66 crores is the right quarterly run rate on the employee cost?
I would say the run rate would be somewhere about 70.
And sir, if you can share some details on the capex as to the nature of the capex, although you in the initial opening remarks we have highlighted that, you know, this capex is related to CPCB4 related product portfolio, but what exactly is the nature of capex, if you can just highlight, because it's a very large number, right? 160 crores odd. So if you can just highlight as to what is this regarding, and whether we have added incremental capacity lines for the manufacturing of CPCB4, or what is the nature of this CapEx?
So all the CapEx is actually moving into technology and engineering. If you look at, we are in the midst of emission norm changes. So we have CapEx going into CPCB4 plus, as well as CEV BS5 on the off-highway side, as well as what you will see is there are new product launches happening. So the MD spoke about the OptiPrime series that was launched. So there is focus on hybridization and, you know, sustainability, as well as there are new fuel types that we are working on. So there is, we have the largest range of natural gas gensets now. So there is CapEx going into all of these areas.
And so lastly, on the export, we mentioned that, you know, we have appointed a global OEM for the GCC region. So how do we see this playing out? What is the kind of trajectory we can expect on the export sales going ahead? We have been highlighting in our 2X, 3Y strategy that, you know, export would be almost like 25-30% of our revenue over the next 3 years. So if you can just highlight as to this particular arrangement, how significantly it can change the trajectory of export numbers for the next couple of years. Yeah, that would be the last question from my side. Thank you.
Sure. So if you look at our product portfolio, we have a very significant portfolio on the power generation side. Now, when we looked at international markets, one of the first few steps was how do we ensure our product portfolio on power generation is available in some of these key markets. For example, Middle East is a key market for us. So what we did was we looked at the product portfolio that we're selling in the GCC countries. We realized a lot of the focus that has historically been has been on industrial and firefighting side. So the reason why we have appointed a genset OEM in that region is to represent the full portfolio of power generation that we have, and the GCC countries are a fairly large market for power generation. So what we expect going forward is deploying a market-based specific, I would say, strategy where we're looking for able partners who can work with us to win in those markets. For example, GCC is the first step in our channel strategy. We have other markets also in mind, and we're looking for capable partners who fit into our value system. So that's the way we're going about it. So the first step is done.
Sure, sir. This is helpful. Thank you. That's it from my side. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Tina Virmani from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. In continuation with the previous question on the demand side, now that we are in second half of this fiscal, basically October has gone, so how do you see, or where do you see the demand coming more from, whether it is coming more from CPCB2 or CPCB4 plus related products? Because you mentioned that CPCB4 plus had some demand from the NCR regions and all, but there also the implementation timelines have seen a shift. So is the market demand more dominated by CPCB2 during this quarter itself, or again it's going to be a mix of both?
So if you look at how the market is behaving from beginning of this quarter until, say, June, what we're expecting to happen is that initially the demand for CPCB2 will be higher as CPCB4 plus ramps up. At some point of time, maybe in the middle, there will be, you know, an equal balance, and then CPCB4 plus sales will increase and CPCB2 demand will go down. So that's what we're expecting. And in line with that expectation, our CPCB2 sales have been higher than CPCB4 sales in the last quarter.
Okay. And is there any impact on the pricing to pass on any kind of raw material correction to the end users, particularly on CPCB2?
No, I don't think. No. So we've not seen any issue of passing on the raw material impacts or cost changes to the end consumers.
Okay. And my second question is related to a more matured state of market when it will be mostly CPCB4 led demand, maybe let's say by June, July onwards. Where would you see the scope of margin improvement for the company and even for the industry per se, particularly for Paradeep segment? I understand there would be price increases. There are already price increases for CPCB4 plus related products. But would gross margins have any further scope of improvement even beyond the current levels?
So what we are focusing on are three main levers for margin enhancement. The first one is getting into white spaces such as high horsepower. So historically, we've not been present in greater than 1500 kVA segment. And now with the launch of our OptiPrime, we've expanded that range to up to 3000 kVA. That's number one. Number two is growing our service and aftermarket business. Because as more electronics come in, it gives us a chance to increase our service penetration. And as a result, enhance our margins, because then you can get into specific kind of service levels based contracts. And third one is looking strategically at our international business and seeing what are the success factors in specific regions and then going to market with those specific factors. So those are the three areas that we're working on to increase our margins.
Okay. So particularly for Paradeep, will there be any scope for further indigenization or further localization once we reach a matured state of market?
So unlike a lot of other organizations, what you will, what in our case, close to about 90% of the supply chain is already localized and indigenized in India.
Okay. And remaining 10%, there is a limited scope.
Yeah, so remaining 10%, I would say there may be, I mean, eventually we may have indigenization plans, but not in the immediate future.
Got it, sir. Got it. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Abhijit Sinha from Pi Square Investments. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Just wanted to understand the opportunity in this HHP segment that we're getting in. Obviously, our portfolio, product portfolio increases substantially. But what kind of opportunity can we see by entering into this segment?
The high horsepower segment is a fairly large segment with limited number of players. So I would say if you look at the high horsepower segment, that itself would be close to about a 2,000 crore annualized opportunity. And with our presence there, we feel confident that we will be able to extract some of that.
Perfect, sir. And what would be the margin differences between this HHP segment versus the segments that we're already in?
I don't think I can comment on specific margin changes, but what I can say is it will be higher than the lower KVA, which is slightly the more commoditized end of the market.
Fair enough, sir. And amongst the three points that you were making regarding the, one was entry into the HHP segment, one was you mentioned the growing the aftermarket services. So where do we stand now, and like what do we, what kind of opportunity do we see over there? and same for the international business, if you could just throw some highlights regarding them.
Sure. So if you look at currently, a lot of our customers go out of fold after warranty period. Now, I can't give out specific numbers on this call, but what we're trying to do is enhance our post-warranty engagement with our customers by looking at the overall service value proposition. We're looking at different response times, commitments to our customers, and also enhancing our service capabilities. So there's a lot of work that's currently going on. I may not be in a position to give out specific details on this call.
Not an issue, sir. So hypothetically, where do we see our exports being as a part of our revenues? So are we looking at about 20-30% going forward?
Yes. So on the export side, our ambition is to get to about 30% of our revenues.
And that's primarily the power generation space only, right?
I would say that's a mix of both B2B and B2C. Power generation would definitely be a large part of it.
And so what's the current breakup between B2B and B2C at the moment? Is it like 80-20?
I'll request Ankur, who is the CFO for our B2B business, to respond to that.
Sure.
Yeah, at a console level, it's about 75-25% as of now.
Okay, lovely. And sir, talking about LGM, we mentioned that the margins have substantially grown.
Yeah, it has.
So what's the current turnover right now, sir, in LGM?
What is the current
turnover in the LGM segment itself? You mentioned right now it's only 30% of their total annual.
So for the half year it is around 250 crores and for last quarter it is 132 crores.
Lovely, sir. And lastly, just wanted to talk on the OptiPrime segment. So what? That is going to be purely the HHP segment that we spoke about, right?
So if you look at OptiPrime and the OptiPrime Hybrid, we've launched these products across the range, but our focus is definitely on high horsepower with that.
And how would this new genset series be different from the ones existing?
So if you look at the product, we've engineered the product to basically provide a better cost of ownership, increase the flexibility to the customers, and also in terms of the footprint, it's a smaller footprint. So it's a better product for the end use application.
Lovely. So eventually people would start moving towards this because this is a more optimum genset, right?
Yes, and hence the name.
True, sir. And the change in the norm from 2 to 4, CCB 2 to 4, does it mean that in CCB 4 we get higher margins also over here in these new?
I would say the electronic content increases substantially. So it may not be a direct margin accretion as a result of product sale, but we will have opportunities through our services to increase our margin.
And all our peers have also dealt it the same way as we have by pre-booking it in the last two quarters.
So all the pre-buy has happened for CTCB2.
Okay. Okay, sir. Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Proline Nandu from Goldfish Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. A few questions from my side. The first is that, because of this delay of norms from year to June, how is the competition reacting? Because we would have typically thought that when the norm change happens, some of the larger players like you would gain market share. Now that that thing is delayed till about June of 2024, is it fair to assume that some of the smaller players might come back with their vengeance? I'm just trying to figure out how is the competition or rest of the market reacting to this delay of norms?
I think and I can just give you my opinion of what I have seen. Each company has their own strategy that is at play, and we are just focused on our main track, which is to support our customers. So we have all our products ready and certified, and we are providing solutions across CPCB2 and CPCB4+. But different companies are following different strategies. So I may not be able to comment on that specifically, but what we want, the assurance we would like to give our customers is that we are there to support them.
Sure. So, Rahul, let me put it another way. From here to June, do you expect market share gains in overall market, or do you see some market share losses, or do you see market share staying where it is for us?
I would hope for some gains, for sure.
Okay. All right. Second question would be on your industrial segment within B2B, right? So, last part of pre-buying, if I'm not wrong, would have affected the power generation side of it, and I'm looking at H1 numbers. So industrial segment has just grown by around 11%, and that's, you know, lower than the overall sales of the B2B division. Do you want to call out specifically any reasons for this lower growth number?
If you look at the industrial business, from our expectations, the way we've looked at the mix, we are pretty much on track. Having said that, there are certain segments within the industrial side where the demand has been lower than what we thought it would be. For example, agri being one such segment. But apart from that, we don't see the industrial segment underperforming. It's part of our, it's going as per plan.
Sure. Sorry, one more question on this whole, delay of norms. So from year to June, as you said that maybe the inventory will normalize, working capital will also normalize. But are there any other costs related to this having two products, right, with us up to different norms, which can, have some kind of drag over the margins? Are there any other costs related to this?
No, I wouldn't say that. I mean, because most of the inventory that the working capital increase that you're seeing is largely because of this being a transition quarter, and there are long lead time items that we had to procure, but all of this will get normalized going forward, so I don't see any other reason.
Sure. And now on your export business, right? I mean, you said that you are looking at the right partners and taking different market based on the merits and based on the partnership that you find there. I just wanted to touch upon the developed market side, US and Europe. Are there similar sort of discussions which are going on there? And is this the only route that you would like to take in export market? And where I'm coming from is that, you know, when we met a year or so back in the analyst meet, you mentioned about this whole white labeling thing, and then we had probably, taken it off and we were no longer going to pursue that opportunity. So just wanted to understand that, is this the only route of probably, looking at the market, finding the right partners, appointing OEM or distributor there, or are there other routes also in export which you're exploring? And if you can just touch upon which other routes you are exploring, and specifically related to opportunity in the developed market, US and Europe particularly.
Sure. So there are multiple modes of entry that we are evaluating by market center. So we have some market centers in mind. There are large power generation and engine market centers across the world. We are extremely clear about that. There are multiple modes of entry. So what I would say is that the route that we have followed for the GCC countries may not be the only route. But what we will do is, as and when we are closer to maturity in some of those conversations, we will keep coming back and updating in these calls.
So is white labeling still on the table, or is that off the table right now?
So white labeling may not be an ideal option for us. We will update in this call in case any such arrangement happens, but I would say it's definitely the least preferred option.
All right, sure. And just one last suggestion, right? I mean, you know, if you can give slightly more granular details on your financial services, just like most of the NBFCs would be giving, right, in terms of NIMS and NPA numbers and all, that would help to understand where that NBFC is going, right? Because this disclosure, I mean, you know, is slightly inadequate. So if you can just add those kind of details just like any other NBFC, that will help. So that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll take the next question from the line of Ashish Shah from GM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity again. So within the power gen segment, could you highlight the key sectors which are driving the demand at this point of time, where you're seeing the maximum pickup? If you can throw some light on that.
So we're seeing a lot of demand uptick happening from infrastructure. There is a lot of interest from data centers as well. And I would say those are the two big segments for us. Of course, there is growth that we're seeing from smaller segments as well, but I would say those would be the two big segments.
Right. And data centers would typically need, you know, densities above 1500 kVA. Am I right in saying that?
A lot of times, yes, but we've executed orders right from 500 kVA upwards.
So you would say that these are the two areas which is a driving bulk of the demand at this point of time. Secondly, on the industrial side, you did allude to some emission norm change, which is in the construction segment. So any more color on that in terms of the timeline and how significant is this business as a proportion of, let's say, our industrial segment? And what is our preparedness to meet the new equipment which will be needed?
So the emission norm that we're talking about is CEV BS5. And what we are hearing through ICMI and some of the other bodies is that there could be a potential change or delay in the norms. But what we are currently focused on is to ensure that our OEMs win in the market, and we're working very closely with them. There were timelines around proto builds that we had commitments on with our OEMs, and we are focused on executing that. So there is a possibility that we may see pre-buy kicking in for the CEV BS4 products in the last quarter of this financial year, unless something changes in the notification. So we are keeping our eyes and ears open to just keep an eye out on that.
But as of now, the deadline is April of FY24.
Got it. April 24. Yeah.
Yeah. As of now, the deadline is April 2024. Yeah.
Yeah. And some, just to get some sense of proportion for this. So how significant part of our segment gets impacted by this particular transition? Just to get some sense of proportion.
What I would say is that if you look at our construction segment. We do roughly around, 400-450 odd crores. And this change will impact a large chunk of it.
Got it. So my last question is actually on the lines of what the previous participant asked. If we could share at this point in the call any breakup of the loan book in terms of these segments or the end sectors where the exposure is, and also any numbers on the gross or net NPAs that we could share here. Hello.
Yeah, so out of the total loan book, which is 4,033 crores, we have about 1,300 crores that is going to hold wholesale lending, about 1,200 crores that's going towards real estate lending, and urban infra, and about 1,500 crores to SME and MSME. Amit, are you on the call? Can you respond to the second yeah. half of the question?
Yeah, ma'am, I'm there on the call. So just to reconfirm the numbers, what Gauri ma'am suggested, only one sub-bifurcation, 1200 crore is not totally to RE and urban infra. Out of that, 932 only towards the real estate developer, and the balance is towards the warehousing, logistics, and other parts of the infrastructure industry. So all put together, 4033 is the total loan book as on 30th September 2023. In terms of a GNPA, we are only at 0.19% of GNPA in the entire loan book. At NNPA, we are at 0.05%.
Right. Just one small additional piece of detail. When we say 1500 is to SME and MSME, which would be these sectors primarily, or it's too diversified to call out?
It is diversified in terms of industry, with a variety of industry, and in terms of a product also, it is highly diversified into 2 to 3 different segments.
Okay. Can you just highlight the segments, please?
See, basically it includes the manufacturer or the traders who are the SME. They own this Udyam registration certificate. They have their own premises. They have been running the business. The entire money goes out for the business purpose only. We have been also doing a little bit of a digital lending, where we have already got a tied up with 3 or 4 channel partners, and the entire STP process is being set. Then they are sourcing cases for us. And basis our credit parameters and credit norms, we have been disbursing those cases. This is the one segment where we have been disbursing to the individuals for their personal consumptions, maybe for education purpose, maybe for a consumer durables or any other purpose. And another very small book comprises also of a supply chain, which is at a like almost in a single digit number kind of a thing in crores.
Got it. Yeah, that's helpful. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Amit Shah from Antique Stock Broking for his closing remarks. Over to you, Mr. Shah.
I would like to thank all the participants for joining the call, and would also like to thank the management for giving us the opportunity to host the call. I would request the management to provide us with the closing remarks, post which we can conclude the call. Over to you, ma'am.
Yes, just wanted to say thank you very much for your interest in the company. Thanks.
Thank you, members of the management. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Antique Stock Broking, that concludes this conference. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.